Welcome to Cut to the Chase, where we talk about compelling legal, regulatory, and public interest information and news. Your host is Greg Goldfarb, an attorney, entrepreneur, investor, and activist.
All right, folks, it's time for our favorite podcast, Cut to the Chase. We're going to cut to the chase right now. I'm bringing back Scott Silver and David Chase, regular contributors on the topics of SEC, enforcement, whistleblowing, and, you know, crypto and all that kind of stuff. One of my first podcasts was with David Chase when the SEC versus Ripple lawsuit came about, and David explained the Howey test. And now it's a year and a half later, we got a ruling. The SEC is starting to file lawsuits against other exchanges. This is all happening, you know, basically in the same time frame. So I figured it'd be a good time to bring these two gentlemen, esteemed gentlemen, back to discuss what's going on and what the landscape is for all us cryptocurrency advocates, holders, et cetera, industry people. Scott, David, thanks for coming on. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Greg. Thanks again for having us back. Always a pleasure.
Hi, Greg. Same. Thank you for having us on. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's start. Dave, why don't we start with you and just kind of go back and talk about the Ripple, lawsuit, what that was about. Go, you know, briefly describe the Howey test and all that.
Yep. So, you know, when we were last on, or when I was on, I think that, you know, early on, when Ripple, the SEC case against Ripple was filed, I never anticipated, nor did I think the crypto community at large, that Ripple would be a tidal wave, which in essence it has become. Yeah. In terms of this latest decision. But I think it's important to step back for a moment when analyzing the significance of the latest Ripple decision, to understand what it means in the broader context of the crypto space, in particular to SEC regulation. Now, you know, we talked about last time, and, you know, it's at the center of discussion for the SEC's registration. The linchpin of the SEC's registration is whether or not these tokens are securities. And the SEC has historically used the investment contract analysis. And the decision that kind of set forth the factors or the elements of what constitutes an investment contract and thus a security is the Howey decision. So the Howey decision was the decision that was used, a Supreme Court decision that was used by the Ripple Court in determining that unlike the first phase of investment by institutional investors into the Ripple's efforts to develop this coin, that met the Howey test, okay? But bottom line is applying the Howey test to the tokens, the Ripple tokens, or, you know, crypto once issued and traded on an exchange did not meet the Howey test, okay? And the Howey test is basically defined as an investment of money into a common enterprise whereby the efforts of the predominant efforts of a third party are responsible for the generation of profits. Okay. And so the court in its analysis found that the trading of these tokens on the secondary on this exchange did not satisfy the Howey analysis. And I'll just essentially leave it at that. So the significance of that is that, you know, it then begs the question or raises the issue as to the Binance case that was brought in around June of this year, June 5th. And then the next day, June 6th, the SEC sued Coinbase. And both Binance and Coinbase, both of those cases involved allegations by the SEC that those two entities were conducting unregistered offer and sale of securities and also acting as unregistered, or in the Binance case, unregistered exchange, broker dealer, clearing agency. Binance also include allegations of misconduct, but they're both at their core registration issues that are predicated or based upon the SEC having jurisdiction, based upon the assumption that these tokens are securities under the Howey analysis. So the Ripple decision comes out after in July after these two lawsuits and really puts a major potential crimp in the SEC's enforcement action. Now, it'll likely go up and be appealed. We'll see what happens on appeal. But, you know, this really causes a potential devastating blow to the SEC enforcement program if this if the Ripple decision is upheld.
All right. So, Scott, let's break this down into a hypothetical. I have crypto at Binance. I am reading the headlines that Binance has been sued by the SEC. What does that mean? What are they getting sued over? How does that affect my holdings there? Should I be taking my money out? Do I need to be concerned about it? And then I want you to do the same thing with the Coinbase lawsuit. And if there are any major differences between the two.
Sure. So I think as a starting point, we have to break it out into two separate groups, the Ripple issues and then the Coinbase and Binance issues. The first question, the issue that comes up in Ripple, all of these cryptocurrencies, what are they? Are they securities? Are they commodities that would be governed by the CFTC? Or are they a hard asset over which nobody, neither the SEC or the CFTC has jurisdiction? The Ripple decision was very interesting in that, in my view, actually gave kind of a half loaf to the SEC and then a half loaf to Ripple because it said the earlier transactions and the ones that were set up and initially sold constituted a security. Under the Howey test was something governed by the SEC, would have jurisdiction, versus the later transactions that the Ripple coins were not securities, and therefore the SEC does not have jurisdiction. And this is incredibly important for all cryptocurrencies. And this has been the big question from day one. Are they or are they not securities? Gensler, the head of the SEC, has basically maintained a position for years that the SEC has jurisdiction because all cryptocurrencies are securities. You're buying them in the hope that through the efforts of others, you're going to make a profit. Then the more recent actions, Coinbase and Binance. The SEC says, because all cryptocurrencies are securities, you must therefore, in order to create an exchange in which investors could buy and sell those securities, you must be registered as a brokerage firm with the SEC, which neither Coinbase and Binance are not. And so if you accept the SEC's position that they are all secure, all these cryptos are securities, then they need to be registered no different than Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch or Goldman Sachs are regulated and registered with the SEC. There are some nuanced differences in the Coinbase and Binance lawsuits. There are some in the Binance lawsuit, the SEC not only is alleging that they were required to be registered, but there are allegations that they were engaging in some misconduct. They were making misrepresentations to the market regarding certain lines of business they were doing, and that they were allowing U.S. investors to trade on a platform that they weren't necessarily allowed. The Coinbase lawsuit is really almost like a great law school exam, right? They're not alleging any fraud by Coinbase. They're simply alleging that they are required to be registered with the SEC as a brokerage firm. And Coinbase's defense, and they've taken a very interesting, very public defense in that they've been talking with the reporters, they filed their own lawsuit to say, hold on, we have been completely transparent from day one of our operations. In fact, we went public 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and we went open kimono and let you guys look at us from every perspective, and you allowed us to go public, and the SEC has now said, well, two different divisions. What it takes to go public is different than what enforcement does. So in answer to your question about do investors who have money on these exchanges necessarily need to go running for the hills. Based on the lawsuits, no. Based upon what we've seen with FTX and all the other brokerage firms or exchanges out there that turned out internally to be moving monies around and taking investor money for other purposes. If I knew exactly what was happening, I wouldn't be a lawyer. But the underlying message from the SEC, certainly when it comes to Coinbase, is a more of a question of are they required to be regulated than an underlying charge of fraud. But to me, the ultimate, taking it full circle, the big question is, are cryptocurrencies securities? And then the answer to that question determines whether or not these exchanges need to be regulated by the SEC.
All right. So now I'm going to throw this into your court, David Chase. All right. So, So they have to register. Let's say Coinbase just, they tap out and they say, all right, we're going to register. So what does that mean? Why are we even concerned about that? And again, you know, how does somebody that has, two Bitcoins and being held at Coinbase, how does it affect them at all?
Yeah. So that's the question. There are crypto companies, exchanges that have registered, and that is an option. It becomes more expensive, though, right? There's regulatory oversight that these companies simply just don't want to go through and succumb to if they don't have to. And so, but yes, that is an option, and that's what the SEC ultimately is looking for, is to have them register. Now, as part of registration, though, that, you know, comes with it inspections, audits, you know, the requirement to you know, maintain and produce books and records. And that is all, in my opinion, that it all inures to the benefit of investors. It's a strong dose of investor protection. And that was absent in situations like FTX and others, where there was no ability to meaningfully have oversight and audit the capabilities to determine where money, investor monies were, how they were being used, and whether or not there was adequate safeguards and protections. So for the hypothetical investor that has two coins, those two coins may be very important, valuable to that client, or, you know, if the client has, you know, their life savings in crypto. So, you know, what the SEC, certainly in the Coinbase case, and equally in the Binance case, and really has been saying to the market all along, is come in and register. You know, get compliant with the registration provisions. It's not that you can't do business, but you need to do business consistent with the law. And, you know, there's been, I think, just a healthy resistance, be it the culture of crypto or the concern about the costs, which are significant, of being a regulated entity, that has caused these businesses not, you know, to resist and to not want to come under the umbrella of SEC registration and SEC regulation jurisdiction.
All right. So, Scott, the fight that Binance and Coinbase and all the other platforms, exchanges that do not want to have to register. When I think about it, are there publicly traded companies? When David mentions that it's costly to register, you know, to me, it sounds like it's only affecting the exchange financially, not the customer, except if these exchanges cannot exist financially because of the cost of registering.
So that could be a good thing, though. So to give an example of a SEC registered firm that allows investors to trade crypto would be Robinhood. We know the big ones like Coinbase and Binance, and that's why the SEC is focused on them and saying they should be not only registered, but regulated, okay? You invest in gold. You want to know that your gold is sitting in a vault somewhere and you could go and see it. You know, these new exchanges, this is the problem with FTX. nobody actually knew where all the money was, and but nobody, there was no government agency who had the oversight to go into the brokerage firm and to inspect their finances and make sure they actually are holding the assets that belong to the customers. We are seeing actually a large number. We get a ton of calls from investors who are being defrauded by essentially bogus exchanges. Okay. There is a huge customer benefit to be able to go to the SEC website, look up and see why is this exchange being regulated and overseen by the SEC. Now, God knows we have a long history of the SEC missing certain frauds, but it is a first level of protection for the investors to see. I think one of the challenges for these exchanges, though, that they're fighting the registration issue is not only the expense, but also it would be a tacit admission by them that all these crypto currencies are securities, which are then going to require these cryptocurrencies to incur a larger level of registration. Right now, there's very limited barrier of entry to create a coin.
So, when I look back, David, from the first, episode that we did with Ripple when the lawsuit started to now, lots of just so many exchanges going under, filing bankruptcy, up to no good. I mean, every possible example of why they should be regulated has happened, and it's common knowledge. And they just cannot, the government cannot come up with a regulatory plan that everybody can buy into. But on the other hand, the whole essence of the cryptocurrency was a decentralized, non-regulated thing. I'm just going to say thing for lack of a better word that comes into my mind. So I don't know if this is a philosophical question, a foundational question. And I know we've had many debates about lots of philosophical topics over the course of our lives. But to me, I'm asking you, if in fact all these cryptocurrencies, are determined to be securities, does that essentially is that such a contrary thing to its essence that it would, undo the whole cryptocurrency motif?
I'm not sure it would. And I think it's a matter consistent with what Scott had said of allowing those companies that are financially solvent, that are, have the resources to conduct business in compliance with the law. And this concept of a decentralized system or thing, it's probably the best way to describe it, right, is it didn't really work. It was a great concept in theory, but in practice, greed and avarice and those human traits tended to resurface and find that, it was a great platform for the worst parts of human behavior to take place. And so, the SEC's position, remember, is that crypto, while innovative and new, is not from a securities regulatory perspective new. It's just another form of an investment contract, and it's another form of a security. And there is a playbook for that. There is legislation. It's the 1933 Securities Act and the 34 Securities Exchange Act and the rules they're under. So Gensler's basically saying, look, it's new in form, but the community should have been on notice from the very beginning that what they were engaged in offering and selling was a security, and so you need to be registered. And so there has been talk about legislation in Congress to legislate. But, the crypto is a very powerful lobby, I think, still to some extent. I think Wall Street now, some of the major players are picking up the pieces and seeing an opportunity. So there may be legislation. I think personally, what the Ripple decision showed was, among other things, the limitations of how far the investment contract analysis can go. It is very comprehensive. It's very elastic, but it can only go so far. And there's never been a test like a resemblance test, that if it looks like a security, smells like a security, walks like a security, it's a security. That was never the model. For better or for worse, it was the Howey decision that was, that was kind of adopted to take those situations where it's not a stock or a bond or an option or a warrant and say, notwithstanding, it's still a security. But these tokens may have, in a sense, gone beyond the limits of Howey. And maybe we need some sort of legislation to determine and finally declare that, as Scott said, it's an asset or it's a commodity or it's a security.
Yeah.
And gain clarity that way. And maybe it's going to come from the legislature, because I think crypto is here to stay. There's some great applications of some of the underlying technologies like Ethereum. Bitcoin's unique. And so it's here to stay. I think ultimately the answer lies in clear legislation. And I think that would help a lot, because there is a lot of, I think, tremendous benefit from crypto that still is yet to be realized, but it needs to be handled in a way, balancing, which is always the case, the need for investor protection balanced against the need not to stifle technological and financial innovation and capital raising, efforts.
All right, Scott, you're going to get the last word here. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried was, lobbying maybe a year and a half ago, and everybody thought he was the darling of the crypto world and he was going to make it happen. And oh my God, look what happened to him. I want you to put on you're a forward thinking guy, and I want you to put on your best forward thinking. Ripple decision might get appealed. Maybe it gets overturned. Maybe it gets, modified in some respect. I know that the lobbying and the legislation and the regulatory, possibilities are out there. Tell me what you think is going to happen.
So, and you're right, I'm an investor advocate at the end of the day. And I'm in full agreement with Gensler, who yesterday or over the weekend gave a speech that said people need to remember the crypto market is still ripe with fraud all over the place, and that a vast majority of the industry is unfortunately misrepresenting what's going on and causing massive harm to investors. The internet itself is only, 25, 30 years old, and we're still figuring out how to regulate it, because in the scheme of the universe, it's a relatively new invention but had a massive impact on the planet. Blockchain, crypto currencies, this whole new technology probably is going to have great benefits. But I remember when I first heard about Bitcoin and we started talking about it 7-8 years ago, how we were going to be paying for our pizza with Bitcoin. Here we are in 2023. I still wouldn't have a clue how to pay for a pizza with Bitcoin. And we clearly need a set of rules to govern the industry. And I think that it's going to be coming. It's the government. It's going to come slowly. It's going to come in, bits and pieces. And, there's a lot of people with passionately disparate views on what that regulation should be. But here in the U.S., if you want to be in a big dollar business, almost every industry is highly regulated. And so it's kind of been our theme here, so I want to break it out again. When it comes to being an exchange, I don't see any reason why regulation and being registered is a bad thing, and why it shouldn't be required for the protection of investors and a clear set of rules of an exchange who simply wants to be the middleman to allow you to buy and sell different cryptocurrencies. I have a account with an online discount brokerage firm. Okay. I expect them to buy and sell my stock, but they're not going to opine if I have a, you know, you and I are the golf course. You tell me about a 2 cent stock. I want to go buy it after the golf game. They're not going to come back and say, you know, you and your golf buddies are a bunch of bozos. You really want to buy a 2 cent stock? I just want to know they're going to do the job they're doing. And since they're managing billions of U.S. dollars, they should be registered and regulated by U.S. government agencies. So I think that's an easy one. As to the cryptocurrencies themselves, I do think we're going to get greater clarity as we're moving forward. And I guess I would take the moment to kind of just say, you know, part of the problem is without regulation and a set of rules, a lot of people are investing in cryptocurrencies without really knowing where they're putting their money. And unfortunately, I'm hearing a lot more people getting burnt in the frauds and schemes we see in this industry than those who are making profits from legitimate business enterprises. So, yeah, I think we're in for years of, you know, start and stop regulation and a set of rules to help govern what's really a very new industry.
All right. So listen, Scott, I can assure you this. If you got a 3-foot putt to win our match, I will be telling you about the 2 cent stock that I got that you need to buy right now. And you also generated a new idea for me for another podcast, which is how to pay for my pizza using cryptocurrency. Okay. So stay tuned for that. But that will do it for this episode of Cut to the Chase with two of my favorite regular contributors, Scott Silver, David Chase. How do we get in touch with you, David and Scott? What's the best way for some, by the way, people, these guys do whistleblower claims also in the SEC world, SEC enforcement. If you've been, your broker ripped you off or whatever, you know, these guys are the ones to talk to. So David, how do you get in touch with you?
Yeah. So Greg, let me just say this just to kind of correct. We are primarily SEC whistleblower lawyers. You know, my firm and Scott's firm formed a strategic alliance, and we routinely represent those who blow the whistle on securities fraud violations, including commodities violations and with the whistleblower program at the CFTC. Just recently, the Treasury Department has created a new whistleblower program for bank secrecy, anti-money laundering type violations, including sanctions violations. And Scott and I, our respective firms, are representing whistleblowers who come forward with, you know, information about sanctions violations, anti-money laundering or money laundering violations, etc. That's new, and that's a new field we're in. So I just wanted to mention that. Yes. Scott, you want to tell them where to find us?
Sure. So, you know, David and I formed this strategic alliance years ago, and we operate under the website that is SEC Whistleblower Attorneys.com. So pretty common sense domain name for the business that we're doing, SEC Whistleblower Attorneys.com. You could also call us directly at 1-800-975-4345. But easy, if you go on our website, you'll see our bios, you'll see our email addresses. We're always happy to talk to anybody who has questions or feel they have insight into a potential whistleblower claim or other frauds in the community to help talk about how we can help you out in your situation.
And as this discussion and this issue about, you know, cryptocurrency, is it a security? Do you have to register? Is it a commodity? Whistleblowing in this context, whistleblowing the SEC world. All these things are moving, and, you know, it's a fascinating topic. So I'm going to have these two gentlemen will be appearing in the future as these discussions move forward and evolve, which they will. So thank you guys for coming on, and that'll do it for this episode of Cut to the Chase. If you have any questions that you would like me to ask these gentlemen on the next time they come on, please let me know. All right. You can go to my YouTube channel, make comments. You'll see some little clips of these guys, handsome guys. You know, don't focus too much on how they look. You got to listen to what they say. All right. Trust me. All right. That'll do it, folks. Have a good day.
That's all for this episode of Cut to the Chase. But before you go, will you open up your podcast app and give us a 5-star review? You can also leave a comment about what you liked most or other topics you'd like us to cover. And please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming shows. Thanks, everybody. Be safe out there.